My name's Nick Elliott. I'm a rock art photographer. And you're listening to the legend that is Stuart Pink, the Unpartial Rock Show. Keep listening. Keep it loud.
Yes, it is. It's the As Yet Untitled Rock Show. And joining us on the As Yet Untitled Rock Show, VIP rock royalty, the one, the only, Nick Elliott. Hello, sir.
Hello, Stu. How are you going, my man? Good to have you. Good to speak to you. Good to be on.
Good to have you. Thanks for joining us. Now, you are, I forgot this right, a rock art photographer.
I am indeed.
Rock royalty in its truest form. So tell us a little bit about what you do and your entry into photography before we get into the rock and roll stuff.
With the entry into photography, long story, big story, Stu. I mean, it goes back to when I was just an eight-year-old lad, and it really was driven, as usual, with these kind of stories from parents, from my dad. My dad was a hero of mine, and photography was a really big gig, you know, with my family. My dad documented pretty much all of their, you know, their kind of upbringing of me and my brother's life as a family.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of rubbed off from there. It was a situation of, you know, kind of being born, knowing that I needed to do something, and it was always going to be a creative direction. And really, my dad pointed me in that direction, you know. Literally, like I say, from an eight-year-old lad. He gave me my first camera, and from there, as they say, the rest is history.
Your first camera. So when are we talking? Are we talking like one of these big, massive, huge?
No, this goes back, Kodak. Obviously, to... Yeah, it was a Kodak Brownie, which was my first camera that Dad gave me, and it was his first camera, and it was kind of a bit of a hand-me-down, you know, because Dad kind of updated his cameras when finances prevailed, you know.
Yeah.
As the years went on, and that's where it all comes from. Yeah, we had two big gigs. 51 is my family home. I call it 51. We had two big gigs, which was Christmas and the kind of traditional 2 week summer holiday.
Yeah.
And Dad documented that from day one, literally from packing a little case and getting on the train in those days, you know, and creating a documentary of the whole 2 weeks from start to finish, you know.
Yeah.
So it was always a big thing, you know. I mean, my background is East End. My mum was a true East Ender. And so, again, family parties and the kind of family thing has always been a big vibe with me. And, you know, so there was always a lot of pictures floating around, you know, East End parties and weddings and birthdays and all this kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So it's in my blood, man. It's in my life. You know, it's all I've ever done.
So it started with those little photo albums you used to have as a kid with the sticky pages.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff. Still got a lot of them. Still got a lot of them. But when I lost my poor dad, he kind of left everything that was, you know, the family archive, as it was, that amounts to a lot of images, all prints, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of digitalized them probably about 10 years ago. I kind of put them all on the digital. So I've got all this stuff now, which is readily available, you know, on my phone. I can call on it. And, you know, so it's great because I've got a lot of really historical East End stuff, you know, and my family were quite an influential family in the East End, you know, where my mum grew up. So I've still got all that stuff, which is fantastic, man. I love it. I absolutely love it. You should never forget your roots, Stu. Never forget your roots.
Absolutely. Never. True word I said. Snapshot of history, isn't it? This sort of stuff.
Totally. Big time. It really is. Sorry, I'm subbing me JD.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. Welcome to the Rock Show.
Good to be on, man. I've been looking forward to it. It's great.
So we'll be going through some of our old photos, actually, which reminded me. And we saw there's so many pictures we've got of like family situations. There's one of my dad holding a baby, and none of us know who this baby is. Have you got any of them?
But that's all people? Part of it, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all part of it.
Who's that?
Tracking it back and finding out who these people were. And, you know, I mean, I've got some, yeah, sorry to draw on about the thing, but I've got some, a VE day of my mum.
Oh, wow.
You know, street parties in town. I tell you, it's serious. Serious.
Amazing.
Really good. Really good.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
So you got your first camera and you started went into it as a job, as a career. Before we get into the rock stuff, where did it all start for a young Nick with his camera?
Well, obviously you're happy hobbyists, as I like to call them, but I left school and then I went straight into newspapers. That was, you know, that was the foundation, the first brick in the wall, if you want.
Yeah.
To the whole gig. I went into the local newspaper, which was the Peterborough Evening Telegraph and Advertiser. And I learned very much of my craft from some of the best guys in the business at the time, you know. And it's all I ever wanted to do, Stu, you know. It's all I've ever done, man, you know. And I'm in it to be the best. I'm in it to leave a mark and to move the line, man, to move the line. That's what it's all about for me.
Nice. So outside of the rock world, you've shot some rock stars in other industries. So before we get into the rock and roll, you've shot photos I was reading up of loads of people, like from the Queen to Barry Sheen.
Oh yeah. Oh, don't get me started on Barry Sheen. Barry Sheen was one of my legends, one of my heroes, man. One of my heroes. I knew the guy very well and his family, and because at the time, I mean, I was racing motorcycles. My brother was racing Formula Ford cars.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Formula Ford cars. So we were heavily involved in motorsport. And, I mean, motorsport is another part of, you know, the many rings around my trunk and, you know, of my upbringing. A lot of that started with editorial. I then went on to, did the kind of traditional bollocks that you get on the newspapers, you know, handshakes, babies, shops opening and all that type of knackers that you used to have in those days, you know. But, and then I went on freelancing for a lot of the, what were EMAP magazines at the time, which they owned Motorcycle News. And various different bike magazines and all this kind of stuff. And because I was naturally in that sport, you know, and me and my brother were heavily, heavily involved in motorsport. And like I said, I used to race the bikes and, you know, we got to know the guys. And that's how I come to take my first drink. Not JD. I'll tell you that story in a minute, but it was Scotch and Coke. And because literally I met the legend that was Agostini and had a drink with him at Silverstone Clubhouse one year for the British Grand Prix.
Oh, amazing.
I was with a couple of other friends and we got a round of drinks and Agostini said, I'll have a Scotch and Coke. I thought that if it's good enough for Ago, it's good enough for me.
I'll make that too, yeah.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. It still makes me shiver. Still makes me shiver, Stu.
Oh, amazing. Did you get much out of that and continue with it with the bike photography?
Yeah, I carried on that because, like I say, we raced them for quite a few years.
Yeah.
We had our own race team and that, which my brother was, you know, pretty much head kind of spanner man at the time. And we always did everything together, me and my brother. And, you know, so it was a big gig. And then I let that go probably about... I think it was my first entry into marriage, kind of sacked off motorcycle racing, you know. So that would probably be about 79, something like that, you know, when I let it go. But I mean, you know, it was something that was like music, a massive part of my life. You know, there was three things: art, photography, you know, music, and motorcycles. That was it. Oh. You know, rock and roll.
That is the ultimate rock and roll life.
Phoenix 98 FM.
Because music has always been such a major part of my life and I've always worked in it creatively, had a record label and various different things, played in bands, you know, managed bands, etc., etc.
Yeah.
As well as doing what I do. But I had a very successful career in high-end fashion and advertising photography before I specialised in music. The music goes back probably about 35 years. And cut a long story short, Stu, it was kind of, you know, dare I mention the word, Mrs. Thatcher during those years.
Yeah.
You know, when she was kind of, you know, literally crucifying the UK as we knew it at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, advertising then started to take a serious dive. Mm. And a lot of the stuff was going and the whole face of it, the whole medium changed big time. And so I said that was it. You know, I'd come to that point of where I was going to do what I wanted to do. So I just literally said, bollocks, you know, I'm going to specialise in the music industry. And that's what I did. Because not only from a commercial aspect of it, which, forgive me, that's not about the commercial side of anything I do.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is one attached to it, but it's not about that. You know, it's literally about the art. It's always about the art, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a case of where it was a creative stop that I'd come to, you know, in my head emotionally, and what I do is very, very passion driven, emotional, you know, kind of sexual thing that I do.
Yeah.
You know, and if you haven't got them components, it just really don't work. So, and it come to that point where I said, no, that's it. I'm going to move into doing what I've really wanted to do, you know. Yeah. And as the music business, as you know, certainly at that time had creative license, you know, to do whatever you wanted to do.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, so that really opened up a massive door for me. And from there, I then started to set my stall out that I wanted to work with these guys that had been my heroes. You know, these people that had made me what I am today. You know, I'd sat in the smoke-filled bedroom, you know, with various different substances and, you know, in the dark, listening to Humble Pie rocking the Fillmore. And, you know, again, another one of my heroes, Rory Gallagher, who changed my life for good.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw Rory. And that kind of thing then became an obsession. It became a, you know, a journey, a trip that I had to make. You know, I've been lucky enough. Jesus has looked after me, you know, and, you know, I do what I do now.
Oh, you can hear it in your voice that there's a passion there. It must be. It seems to me like you pick not the sensible option, but what you really want to do, what you're driven towards, what you enjoy.
Oh God, yeah, man. I mean, it's always been about that. It's a hard business. It's a very, very hard business, not only from a creative perspective, but it's a very hard business, you know, to actually be in. Yeah. You have to understand it, and you have to feel the vibe the same as the artists do, because these guys are artists. They're musicians is too small a word.
Yeah.
You know, artists they are, you know, and their medium is music. But, you know, you take a long, long time to work your way into the acceptance of it, and certainly to get as close as what I have done and do to a lot of these people. You know, you have to be very trustworthy. You have to be, dare I say, a nice guy. And you have to understand how the craft is, you know, created. It's not just about taking shots of some coconut playing music. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta feel the passion in it and get to know the people.
Oh God, man, yeah. If you haven't got that, you waste your time. This
is Stuart Pink on Phoenix FM.
If you head onto your website, nickelliott.photography, yep. People can see some of your stunning work, and they might recognise just a few faces on that site.
Right. There's quite a lot of images on there that don't even show a face. That is deliberate. That is categorically deliberate.
So other body items are available. I was looking some of the people you photographed. I mean, I'm basically looking at my dream gig here. There's some awesome names in this.
Hey, you got a super group in mind then? Is that where you are?
Oh my God. Yeah, go on then. Give us your...
No, you first. You started it. Let's hear yours.
Oh, super. Oh, blimey, Moses. I mean, you've got Robert Plant in there, so that's a decent start, isn't it?
God, yeah.
Yeah, rock God straight from the off. I mean, Justin Hawkins up front would be rather nice.
Not much he can't do. Yep.
Nice guy.
No, class act.
More charisma than anybody in most rooms, I would wager.
And yeah, top man.
You got people like Status Quo there to provide free chords if you need them.
Oh God, the legendary choir. Yeah, that was definitely a bit of a result for me when I got that gig. I mean, I'd listened to the Quo for years. You know, again, they'd influenced me to such a degree. you know, and to actually realise that you were then going to do something with these guys, you know, and was, man, life-changing, man. You know, it was a case of you kind of met up with these guys, you walked on stage and, you know, you shook, or I did, you know, that the whole thing was was so, so electric for me, you know. I've had a couple of experiences like that. Alice Cooper was another one. Bit of a shame that I never ever got to shoot Rory, which is a shame, despite the fact I saw him three times, but he died before, you know, I had the chance, because for me, Rory Gallagher, it started and finished with that. AC/DC, you know.
Oh my God.
Which was another kind of life-changing trip that was, you know. But I mean, I've had so many of them. I mean, certainly with Robert Plant, because again, Bob had been such a massive part of my growing up, my upbringing. And although we didn't listen to that so much of that kind of stuff as a family, my dad was extremely tight into music, you know. So my upbringing was very much a lot of jazz, a lot of blues, you know, even ballet. You know, I know a shitload about classical music, would you believe?
Oh,
you know, but it's where it all started, man. You know, it's where it all started. And yeah, we reap the benefits and the rewards of what those creative geniuses had produced, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Like for you, meeting people like these that are your idols and stuff.
Oh, God, man. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I've ticked so many boxes, you know, and I mean, I had a cup of tea with Robert Plant, and, you know, as soon as you kind of, I literally walked backstage and there he stood, you know, and you couldn't believe he was 2 feet away from Bob Plant, you know.
Yeah.
And the man is so charismatic, you know. It's just everything that you expect Robert Plant to be is more. It's just, you know, it's orgasmic. It really is.
It'd probably be easier to be honest with you, to talk about the people you haven't met than the ones you have, because there's so many of them, so many great artists here, right? So what I want to do is do a quick fire round of a little sneak behind the scenes of these people. Okay, have you ever heard, you ever played Snog, Marry, Avoid?
Not on radio, but we'll do it. Do whatever you want to do.
So, there's a radio-friendly version called Snog, Marry, Avoid, right? So, out of all the artists and creatives you've photographed over the years, who would you snog, who would you marry, and who would you definitely avoid?
Who would I snog?
Oh, you don't have to, actually. Oh, I know you've got the
phone. No, I'm getting signals here, man. I'm getting signals. But obviously, I can't answer that because it's for the radio. I don't know. Let me think about it. I mean, Katie Tunstall.
Oh, yes. Lovely Katie.
Yeah, she's a bit special. She's a serious, serious artist. I did quite a lot of stuff with her. She features in two or three of my books for the Cambridge Folk Festival. I don't know. I'd have to think about that, man. I'd have to think about that, you know?
Yeah. We can come back.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Bonnie Raitt. Big fan of Bonnie Raitt. I don't know. Let's pass over that one and let me think.
Come back to that.
What was the other questions?
Who would you marry and who would you avoid? The other one.
Who would I marry?
So you can snog one. You got to live with one, and that's a big commitment.
I wouldn't marry no f***er anymore. I've done that twice. And I tell you now, no. It's not a spectator sport. Not at all. So I might rain check on that. What was the other one? Avoid?
Yeah.
Avoid. Who would I really avoid? Cool, dear. I don't know. I don't really make a habit of avoiding people, to be honest.
No.
In or out of the business.
Who would you be worried about your mum catching you spending the night with, terms of avoiding? Who gets into trouble?
No, I wouldn't. that kind of thing was pretty loose, man, at 51. It was, it's whatever made her son happy was my mum's view. So forgive me for my very kind of...
That's fair
enough. Non-descriptive answers. I didn't expect that.
Who do you reckon, out of all the ones you've met, is the most rock and roll off camera?
Oh, the most rock and roll. Thin Lizzy's pretty mean. Thin Lizzy's pretty mean. Scott Gorham, one of the nicest blokes in rock. Bob Geldof, I enjoyed the time spent with Geldof. He's everything that you expect Bob Geldof to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the guy. I really do love the guy. I don't know who's the most rock and roll. Like, Christ, there's been so many, man. Metallica, Iron Maiden, Motorhead, I probably would say Lemmy.
Oh, yes.
Motorhead, I would probably say Motorhead.
Rock and roll.
Motorhead, yeah, would tick the box of the most rock and roll, I think. But a lot of the Americans, they kick ass. They know how to do it.
Oh, just like part of the way of life, isn't it?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, the Americans rock and roll. I'm a big fan of the Americans, and they know how to do it. You know,
yeah,
they really do. I just love American rock, and I love the bands. And well, if I had a chance, you know, the kind of band that I haven't managed to do anything with is Aerosmith, and they're the guys that I would really like to shoot. Tyler,
or
the Foos. Yes. The Foos are pretty mean.
Oh, blimey, yeah, get Dave Grohl up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I checked out a bit of a trailer for his film. Have you seen his film?
No.
He's released a film. I think it is the end of April, something like that, which is basically, you know, go buy a van and get out there and play music is pretty much the summary of the whole story.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's directed, he starts Grohl. But he talks to Lars Ulrich and, you know, a couple of the guys.
Oh, my God.
Else he speaks to. They're some really good people. Yeah.
I think the basic story is of how it started for the Foos and how it starts with any serious band, you know. Four or five geezers get together, they buy a van and spend the rest of their life in that for the next 10 years, you know, trying to break it.
Yeah.
And that's what the film's about. So he goes out, he's doing Q&As with, you know, people like the Peppers, Lars Ulrich. There's no end of names and faces in it, you know, and I think it comes out at the end of April. And he's released his biography as well, which I think is later on in the year. So, and he's a rock star, isn't he? Grohl, a rock star.
Absolutely. I was one of the very few lucky people to see him at the Club NME in London. He just turned
all
up.
All right, nice.
At a random small gig. Him and his mate, Rick Astley.
Obviously, kind of the history of Rick Astley, you know, from the time is literally a bit, you know, dubious, and it was at the time. But the guy can do it, can't he? He's a singer.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he totally is. Yeah. Oh, it's a great night.
And a nice guy, I'm told.
Phoenix 98 FM.
If I had the power to put together my dream gig, I reckon you probably would have met most of them. But we're talking about gigs and stuff. If we've all been to gigs and tried to take photographs and they've turned out absolutely terrible. Obviously, yep. A lifetime of experience is what you have in making that happen, and you can't really give us that over the phone. But how do you go about capturing the essence of a gig in a photograph and taking a good photo gig? A gig photo?
Well, it's a feel for me. That's what it's about, Stu. As I kind of lightly touched on earlier on, it's not about photography for me. Photography is purely, you know, the medium that I used to create the art.
Mm.
It was literally a tool. It still is. The whole thing, for me, it comes from within. It's a connection. It's an emotional thing. It's a passion-driven thing. And, you know, as I touched on earlier on, there's an element of sexual kind of vibe goes on in that, you know, and they're the ingredients for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think that, again, because it is very much about the images. It is very much about creating one-off pieces of fine art that will live on long after my death. So, the whole thing for me doesn't have a structure. It doesn't have, well, you do this, you do that, you don't, or I don't. You know, it's a case that you literally get into that place and it comes from within. It, it's a gift. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's a gift that God, Jesus, has given me, the same as anybody else, great artist, I think. You know, it's not something that's taught. It's something that is given to you, you know, at birth. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, that may be distributed, but that's just my view, you know.
Nice.
So, I mean, to say, you know, to even kind of say, well, you do this, you do that. No, you do your own thing. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You find something that works. You find something that kicks and sparks and you know, really, really gives you everything you want. Well, then you're on the right track.
I guess looking at through some of your examples on your website and stuff, it's about capturing a moment, because each one of those you can really kind of feel what's going on there and the vibe in the room.
Well, there's a lot of that, but really for me the main objective is to get within the veil, and that is to kind of pass through the performance and the rest of it and get down to the real deep character of what these people are all about.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to look at people, you know, again, people like Alice Cooper is a good example, who is a raw out-and-out legend of a rock star. His show was a show-stopping.
Yeah.
You know, they're must-see. But the guy is incredibly soft-spoken, very, very connected, very cultural, you know. But to see the guy doing shows and to see how it's just having a steal, we'll say, in Mojo or whatever, you know, that is not the character that comes over. And what I kind of hope to achieve with the images is I get the true character of what these people are about.
So as well as the rock art, probably touching on that, you do something else you've termed dark art. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that really is, I've been doing projects over the past 3 years. These things have kind of been a collective cluster of work that has been, you know, kind of stacking up over my lifetime, really, Stu. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, and there's this one particular project that I've recently completed called Loss, and it summarizes the degrees and amount of loss in my life through four people, you know, and a situation of emotional loss. And the conceptual dark art is an ongoing project. It's called dark because it is dark. And hopefully the plan is to release several volumes of books over the next kind of 2 or 3 years, which they're very explicit. These things are rated XXX, you know, but it's a movement away from what I'm known for. But it is a representation, a true one, of every emotion that I have felt and continue to feel through my life.
Yeah.
So I've created this several bodies of work that, to a degree, so one or two of them hit at the man. They hit at the system, society in the UK, you know, but they do hit very much of a visual representation of every single emotion that I feel and have felt over the past X amount of years. You know, so I've created, we'll say, heartbreak, upset, anger, passion, sexual frustration, etc., etc., etc. And then there is a visual image, an imagery that literally represents all those emotions. Thing is going to be a touring exhibition. I'm looking to take it worldwide and certainly to the US. Like I say, there's going to be several books on the back of this, but it is an ongoing thing. But it's extremely extreme, very extreme. It's because, as I've kind of said, Stu, I don't care anymore. And that really, from a creative perspective, you know, there's no lines, there's no holes, there's no kind of room for, well, you can't do that. well, I've just done.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot to be in, isn't it? Where you totally. you don't care, you can
totally
take the mask off.
And that has allowed an awful lot of freedom, creatively, visually, in every shape and form. You know, it's been an awakening, man, an awakening big time.
Must be exciting for you to go from capturing other people's lives and other people's stories and to sort of depicting your own.
Well, it is, because all these works are, they are self-portraits. That's what they are.
Mm.
So there's no models, there's none of that nonsense. You know, this literally is all about me in a visual form.
Fantastic. And the first of many, maybe, if this is a life.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think there's seven projects. One or two of them are coming to the end of now, but there is five that are totally complete. Some of them are relatively small bodies of work, kind of, you know, amounting to probably about 30, 40 images in some cases, less in some cases. Mm. But it's what it is. It's dark fine art. That's what it is. You know, there is clearly a representation of that. I am a rock art photographer in there. And the rock and roll vibe, you know, the kind of dirtiness of that is still there.
Yeah.
But it is very much a avant-garde art kind of renaissance. All those type of periods are thrown in.
Fantastic. And where could people find out more about all this?
Well, people can't, because it's all under wraps at the minute. But, I mean, you know, the best place to kind of follow all what goes on, social media, I'm everywhere. Wikipedia is, you know, Wikipedia page is a good place to kind of source history and any kind of in-depth that you want to know.
Yeah.
But it's nicolia.info is your official news page. So that's nicolia.info. And all the stories are on there, and everything goes out there on a regular. You featured on there before we even got to this stage.
I know. I saw my beautiful face, you know, my face mask, yeah, everything on there.
That's it. It'd be nice to have seen your full kind of features.
Coming
soon. Everything goes out there. You know, it's looked after very well. That is by my team, and you know, I've got a top team. It's doing a fantastic job, and you know, so everything is on there. So that is the best place.
So I first heard of you, and we're in touch because we have a mutual friend in Dom from Dead Reynolds.
Oh yeah, my dear friend Dom Greenwood. Yeah, he's top man. I love Dom a lot.
Absolute legend. Now you are putting together a couple of rockumentaries, and one of those includes Dead Reynolds. So tell us, what is a rockumentary?
Well, a rockumentary is something that, I mean, obviously based around the kind of concept of a documentary. I call it a rockumentary. They're projects that I came up with. It's something that I wanted to do. And I've done one with the former drummer of The Darkness, Ed Graham.
Oh, fantastic.
I've done one with 60s rockers Marmalade, which really started the whole thing in 2015.
Yeah,
I was commissioned to do, artwork for a double album and CDs and DVDs, but the band and the rest of it. And it was the ideal opportunity to move it into the rockumentary kind of genre.
Mm.
And the rockumentary is, a no holds barred, a no rules implemented image representation of the band.
Okay.
Backstage, playing, having a burger, having a drink, getting pissed up, whatever it is, the
nice.
Whole thing,
yeah,
is then documented. And like I say, we're just on the end of doing the kind of one that I've been doing with Earl Slick. Obviously know who Earl Slick is. You know, he was Bowie's guitarist. He worked on the Station album. He featured very much with a lot of Bowie's work.
Oh, wow.
Worked with John Lennon, New York's Dolls, Buddy Guy, Yoko Ono, you name it. Slick's a legend. Check him out.
Wow.
If you're not familiar.
Yeah.
But Earl Slick is rock and roll, man, as you'd never known it. He really is.
Yeah.
And every time Slick comes into the country, because he's American, lives in just outside New York, we've hooked up, we've become very dear friends. And we did this, we've done this rockumentary, and these projects always end up in a touring exhibition, but always have the destination of a fine art coffee table book.
Oh, wow.
Because again, books, I have my own publishing company, and that looks after all my fine art and all the books and all that kind of stuff. And for me, there's only one destination for what I do, and that's a coffee table book, you know, along with a tour and exhibition.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, to move on from that, you know, because obviously I'm around this kind of stuff all the time and up and coming bands that, you know, are really starting to spark it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I met these guys about three years ago.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're top guys. They really are. You know, plus the fact they could do the job, and their stuff is really starting to, you know, start to melt through people.
Oh, they're popping, aren't they? Yes.
They are.
Phoenix 98 FM.
Previous guests on the Azure Untitled Rock Show, the brilliant Dead Reynolds. Their current single, Bright Lights, from their debut album, Breathe With Strangers, which comes out in August this year. Some absolute bangers on there. Cheeky little reminder, you can hear Dom from Dead Reynolds chatting to us on the As Yet Untitled Rock Show, alongside a few of the aforementioned bangers, at phoenixfm.com. Although, right now, we are talking to somebody else who knows all about Dead Reynolds, rock art photographer and all-round top bloke, Nick Elliott. So, rather than listen to me bang on about the music, for a change, I'm going to let Nick tell you exactly what it was that first piqued his interest in Dead Reynolds.
You're listening to the Edge of the Titled Rock Show. Stupid Pink on Phoenix FM.
Well, I mean, it was basically the kind of potential that they showed, and the fact that, you know, they, like I said, we kind of hooked up, and it was at a festival in Norfolk, actually, in Kingsley, when I first met them.
Oh,
and, you know, we kind of just really hit it off. And, you know, I'm a very relationship-orientated type of guy, so you have to be able to get on with these people.
Yeah.
You know.
And, especially if you're going to spend that time with them behind the scenes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really nice guys. You know, I love them all. I really do. And like I say, we've kind of been restricted with the COVID, you know, so we haven't been able to get on. But funnily enough, I messaged Dom only this morning, and hopefully we're going to catch up sometime early in May when this thing starts to loosen up a bit, you know.
Fantastic.
But I've kind of handpicked one or two people. There's another singer-songwriter guy called John Peach. Check this guy out. You know, he's a class act, his job. And, you know, not I won't say he's not nothing like as rock-orientated as the Reynolds.
Yeah.
But it's very clever music, very well-crafted, lyrically, musically, production-wise. You know, he's very, very hot on it. And, you know, so me and John, again, have become dear friends. And we hooked up and we're doing a rockumentary. So they're the two that I'm working on at the minute.
Awesome. And John is Love Songs for Losers, am I right?
That's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy.
We'll
check him
in,
out.
Get him in the playlist later on. Fab. Fantastic stuff.
That'd be nice. Yep.
You're spotting all this talent same time as us. It must be an interesting thing. We're taking these photographs and going to these gigs and stuff. It's like a byproduct of being involved in the music industry. You just get all this new stuff just appears. It's fantastic,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's as you know, I mean, you know, you're probably more aware than I am, Stu. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, but is there a lot of exceptional stuff? No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Not in my view, you know, but I think certainly the Reynolds and John Peach are exceptional. They're standout. You know, they're like the kind of Beckhams of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Best thing out of Cambridge since Wills and Kate.
Yeah, well. Okay. I wouldn't put them two in the same kind of box as the Reynolds, but okay.
No.
Yeah,
probably,
I know where you are.
Probably need their own box.
Yeah.
They don't mind sharing.
They live it. They've got a nice house, haven't they? Got a nice house.
Yeah, it seems all right, didn't it? Pretty spacious.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the better Barrett homes.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got a couple of other things coming up. You've got a new book, a documentary film. Tell us what else is coming in Nick Elliott's world.
Well, that's a documentary that I was approached by a production company. I think it was probably about August last year time. It's a production company called A-Turn Films in Norwich. And I know this guy, the guy who is the CEO of the company. It's a guy called Andy Turner. He kind of said, you know, look, I would really, really, something I've always wanted to do is I wanted to do a documentary on you and your life. So the film's title is A Story So Far. And again, we've only done probably about two or three kind of sessions on this. But it is moving along slowly. But obviously COVID, we had to kind of ice it for some time. Mm. And we're starting again on that in the next month or so. That's hopefully, well, it's going to be about an 18 months, 2 year project. And actually, when I do the American tour later on in the year, the crew's coming out to document the whole tour, which will be a nice addition to the film.
Fantastic.
So, you know, that thing, it's going to go on general release, Netflix, Amazon Prime, the full nine yards. It's a very, it's what I call out the desks, though. There's no editing. You shoot what there is. You shoot what is said, and that's it. And that's how we're going to run it.
Yeah.
So it's a very exciting project. And like I say, I'm keen to get back to it. There's that. You know, then there's obviously the American tour and a lot of stuff we're looking at for next year to go back and continue several tours of the U.S. That is a massive project.
Yeah.
And then I have a fine art rock book coming out towards the end of the year. That's the plan, which will be the first volume of a trilogy, which again is something that's kind of been laying around for the past kind of 6-7 years, and something again that I've always wanted to do. And this is part of all the years of being in this business, really. It will be something that's very, very different. I'd probably rather not say too much about that at this stage, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, we'll get you back on when it's out.
It is going to be special. Yeah, I'd love to come back on and talk about, you know, specific things and the rest of it, and, you know, even to talk about the US tour, and we could even do something from out there, you know,
yes.
If you wanted.
Take me to America. Sounds good.
Yeah. So there's that. There's this kind of a little bit of lunacy that I'm involved in, which is called To Go Mad in Norfolk. And this is basically, it's going to be a TV show. We're going to run it as a TV pilot with the view to production companies picking it up. But it's two guys trucking around Norfolk,
oh, wow,
acting lunatics, having a laugh, and just, you know, the juxtaposition between me and, again, Andy Blythe, who is the other guy that's involved in it, you know, is quite a working kind of thing, you know, and it's really good because,
yeah,
Andy is so different character to me, you know, and it's a bit like The Odd Couple, you know, the film The Odd Couple, and that kind of thing, but we're taking it on the road, and
awesome.
We're going to do this from a motorhome, which is Andy's motorhome, called Pentest One. You know,
brilliant.
So we're going to truck around and just, you know, kind of hook up with people in Norfolk, go to some of the attractions and all the things that make Norfolk the special place that it is, you know. And it's going to be a lot of laughs, a lot of giggles, but it's going to be a factual kind of magazine program at the same time. So,
yeah,
but it's that, and then there's obviously the fine art projects and the rest of it that I'm working on it on, you know, kind of permanently that will be running, but just looking forward, man, to getting out there, and hopefully if it ever warms up in this bloody country, you know, we can have a bit of outside work, you know what I'm saying,
go outdoors. It feels like there's so much that you've got going on has been sort of sat on hold while this has been going on, so I'm excited to see what the rest of the year brings for you, when you can get out there and crack on with it all.
Well, that it has, because I mean, you know, I kind of spent a fabulous Christmas with my partner this last Christmas, and we had 2 and a bit weeks of kind of just putting everything together, a bit of the old festive gig, you know, a bit of FC and all the stuff as you do, you know, chocolate snowmen, you know, and then I kind of walked into early January, and then suddenly Boris and his mates shut the door again.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a real bark, because, you know, you're fired up, ready to go, you know, and then, okay. I mean, I support all what's been done, you know, I really do, and I don't think we can do enough to try and eradicate this once and for all, you know. So I'm a big supporter of it, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a kind of a bit of, well, me. You know?
That took us all a bit by surprise.
You got to the foreplay stage but didn't get any further, you know, because she pulled the rug. You know what I'm saying?
Left you hanging for 12 months.
Indeed, you know. Left the building.
Handcuffed to the bed.
You know where I am.
Oh, exactly. Well, Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thanks for coming on and sharing some of your stories.
Not a problem at all. It's been very enjoyable, Stu, and I love you lots, man. Great. Really good. I'm looking forward to hearing the show.
I've been Stuart Pink, and you've been listening to the Now You're Talking podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, I consider myself very lucky to have met and talked to some incredible people from so many walks of life, ranging from comedy icons and movie stars to community heroes, legends of rock, school kids, the fastest man in a tuk-tuk, and a 104-year-old chicken farmer. All sorts has been going on, from backstage at Latitude Festival and Cliffs Pavilion to Zoom calls, pubs, classrooms and care homes. I've thoroughly enjoyed unearthing over 100 fascinating life stories from over 100 awesome people. To hear another one, or to hear all of these episodes and these chats, go to stuartpink.com/interviews. You can also subscribe to this podcast to get the next one delivered directly to your device at stuartpink.com.
The whole 9 yards, man. What a bark.
It
but is. We're back live.
We're back. Back, thank God, it ain't live. Can you imagine? Jesus.